You're listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. The views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. Feel concern at the actions of others, may we be filled with compassion for the afflicted. May we be humble enough to know that we do not know the motivations and details of the problems in other people's lives, but we pray for healing. We are grateful. Let us be grateful for the new life that we see in the world, in family relationships becoming closer, and in the culture and education that is available to us in this time and place. Let us be thankful for being such a wealthy people in our opportunities to learn and love better. And now I'll ask Tommy to come forward with a reading for today. It's from an interview given by Joseph Campbell in relation to his TV series on mythology around the world.
Psychologically, the dragon is one's own binding of oneself to one's ego. And you're captured in your own dragon cage. The real dragon is in you. That's your ego holding you in. What's my ego? What I want, what I believe, what I can do, what I think I love, and all that. What I regard as the aim of my life, and so forth. It might be too small. It might be that which pins you down. And if it's simply that of doing what the environment tells you to do, it certainly is pinning you down. And so the environment is your dragon as it reflects within yourself.
Enter the Dragon. It was probably the greatest martial arts film ever made. Bruce Lee starred in the movie, and poignantly, it was released into cinemas just days after his premature death in 1973. Now, I know you probably didn't come here today to listen to my film review of a martial arts movie, but I also want to celebrate with you the Year of the Dragon, which is 2024, according to Chinese astrology, and perhaps dragon mythology gives us something more to think about as well, leading to the question, have you got your inner dragon under control? My enthusiasm for the Enter the Dragon film, though, was quite genuine. At least it was when I was a teenager. I reckon I saw it when I was about 16 years old, because I remember driving with a high school friend to cinemas at Glenelg to see a double screening of Bruce Lee movies. And I suppose one can put it down to a boyish fascination with physical prowess, which I didn't really have at the time. It was before I had reached my physical peak, which sadly was about 40 years ago. Now, the plot of the movie is quite simple. Bruce Lee is a Shaolin monk. One of the graduate monks has turned bad, and Bruce Lee is sent out to fight him. So the title doesn't refer to entering a place as such. It's more the stage direction. Enter the dragon. Bruce Lee's nickname in real life was the Dragon, partly because he was born in the year of the dragon in 1940. The Chinese zodiac has a creature for each year in a 12-year cycle. So 2024, being a multiple of 12 years after 1940, is also a year of the dragon. Interestingly, the dragon is the only mythical creature in the Chinese zodiac. The positive qualities of people born in the year of the dragon are said to be power, abundance, majesty, longevity. There is more to the Chinese astrology, but I'll leave it there. Just so you don't think my reference to the martial arts film is entirely vacuous and gratuitous, I share with you some dialogue from early in the film where the martial arts graduate, really the spiritual graduate of the monastery, is leaving and has a final conversation with the master, the abbot. The master says, "I see your talents have gone beyond the mere physical level. Your skills are now at the point of spiritual insight. I have several questions. What is the highest technique you hope to achieve?" "To have no technique." "Very good. What are your thoughts when facing an opponent?" "There is no opponent." "And why is that?" "Because the word I does not exist." So continue. "A good fight should be like a small play, but played seriously. A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready. Not thinking, yet not dreaming. Ready for whatever may come. When the opponent expands, I contract. When he contracts, I expand." Now, the Chinese New Year commenced on 10th February this year, and some of you might recall I didn't present to you that week because I had COVID. Anyway, the greeting you can give to Chinese people or people of Chinese heritage is Gong Xi Fat Sai. I'm humble enough to know that there is at least one person in the audience who can pronounce that better than I can. But I always think if you pronounce a foreign language quickly enough, people think you know what you're talking about. So come on, everybody practice. Gong Xi Fat Sai. Yeah, pretty good. So it's maybe a little bit late for this year, but you can remember it for next year. You don't have to wait for the 12 years for the next year of the dragon. You can just remember it for the next Chinese New Year. And if you're wondering when that is, it falls on the second new moon after our summer solstice. Essentially, it'll be the time of the new moon, which is the opposite of the full moon, between January the 21st and February 20th. And Gong Xi Fat Sai actually means you're wishing the other person prosperity for the year ahead. So although that's the common greeting, you can also wish people health and love, if you prefer. On a change of topic, there is something akin to a dragon, a monster at least, in the dreaming of many Aboriginal people. And I'm informed that in the Kaurna dreaming, there is a monster called Yura, which inhabits the dark spaces between constellations in the Milky Way. The Yura is not a malevolent being. It is morally instructive. So those who follow the law will not be bothered by the Yura. Those who depart from the law may find unwelcome attention from the Yura. And at that point, we'll have some more music, some Rachmaninoff to stir us up, prelude in G-sharp minor. Dragons. Let's move from the so-called Eastern Hemisphere to Europe, where most of us can trace our ancestry and cultural heritage. In contrast to the lizard-like dragons of Eastern Asia, which can be benign and even auspicious, European and Middle Eastern dragons have a pretty bad reputation. And I think the usual suspects might be to blame. When I was in Spain, I was fortunate enough to witness a Corpus Christi procession in a little Spanish town. Now, a couple of the floats which carried displays through the streets were really quite astonishing. One of the first displays showed huge models of King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain with the dark-skinned Muslims they had subjugated over 600 years ago. Now, it's one thing to acknowledge history and the conquest of the Spanish peninsula in the name of the Pope and the King and the Spanish people, but I thought it was extraordinary to still be reveling in the massacre and expulsion of Islamic and Jewish people over 600 years later. The other display, which struck me as extraordinary, more relevant to today's talk, was a virgin astride a defeated dragon. It immediately struck me as symbolic of a great spiritual truth that through purity, one's passions can be tamed. Now, I might say that this procession obviously went back to pre-Christian times, and elements of the procession from those days evidently continued. But like so many things, the Christians used that as a base to superimpose their ideology and made it a procession of the body of Christ, apparently. So that's a different part of the procession. The dragon here represents what is called the id in psychoanalysis, those brooding primeval passions that lurk within us. The ego mediates between those internal impulses and the external world, including our relationships with others. The ego pursues satisfaction of the impulses, while at the same time recognizing that there needs to be some restraint to avoid unpleasant reactions. Carl Jung said, "The dragon stands as the guardian of the treasure," meaning that if the instinctive impulses can be moderated and tamed, the treasure of self-realization becomes possible. Moderating and taming our base impulses allows us to be kind and generous to others. In his book, The Archetypes and the Collective Unconscious, Carl Jung put it another way. The hero's main feat is to overcome the monster of darkness. It is the long hoped for and expected triumph of consciousness over unconsciousness. And this is consistent with Joseph Campbell's view, as Tommy read out earlier, that the ancient stories of slaying dragons are really a metaphorical understanding of the need to understand and moderate our own passions. An English author, Neil Gaiman, said, "Fairy tales are more than true, not because they tell us that dragons exist, but they tell us that dragons can be beaten." As with so many ancient myths, Christians adapted them to their purpose. A classic example is the story of St. George and the dragon. Essentially, a maiden is threatened by the dragon. St. George goes to kill it. He manages to pierce it with his lance. And at that point, he takes the maiden's girdle, whatever that is, to put around the dragon's neck so it can be led away in subjugation. Why he didn't just bring a rope with him, I don't know. But looking back at it from a psychological point of view, it is notable that both the male and female principles had to be combined to tame the dragon. The story read by Cleo today was inspired by the English saga of Beowulf, written down about 1,000 years ago. Arguably not a happy ending for the one who died of dragon poison, but the point is that the treasure can be gained and used by the new regal personality for the benefit of the community. So whether the Saviour be king or queen doesn't really matter. It's not as if we are the same person all of our lives. Our identity passes from one to the other. The goal is not to eliminate our internal passions. They must be identified and seen for what they are. And then we can make adult choices about whether and how we might express our deeper urges. Self-understanding, rather than asceticism, allows integration of every aspect of our being. And this is the way forward to maturity. Unfortunately, this work is made more difficult by characterizing our animal urges as evil or sinful. The psychological problems really start when we deny the passions within us and project them onto some person or being outside of us. Some of the problems in the priesthood tell us how terrible the consequences can be. When we deny responsibility for our own urges by projecting them outwards, we can't enter into a deep understanding or moderation of these things because the psychic defense is saying, it's not in us, it's out there. Consider the Christian mythology, perhaps the first example of blaming someone else for our faults. Going back to the old Jewish creation story of the primordial man and woman, a lot of blame was put on the snake, even before it was a snake. It seems that the snake was really the only creature that knew what was going on in the Garden of Eden, but Christian writers literally demonized the snake and it became associated with evil, the devil, and dragons. Yes, in the book of Revelations, part of Christian scripture, a heavenly woman is confronted by a monstrous dragon. I'll just read a little from Revelations chapter 12. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And I interpose that this part of Revelations echoes the story of the dragon which threatened Apollo's mother in Greek mythology, while the god Apollo was still in her womb. And this dragon looked a bit like a giant snake, and it was called in Greek Python, or what we say in English, Python. The dragon was slain by the grown-up Apollo, and everyone was saved, except the dragon. Anyway, back to the book of Revelations, quote, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there any place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. My point is, you really can't work with a dragon like that. And it's black and white, isn't it? Good and evil. The imagery of the dragon in this lineage can be traced back to the sea monster of the Canaanite people and further back to the Mesopotamian stories of the dangers lurking in the chaos of the deep primordial waters. Tiamat was their Leviathan sea monster. The conclusion I'm coming to is that we need to accept every part of ourselves, which is not to say act out every part of ourselves. And again, we've seen with terrible sadness what happens when base impulses are just let loose. The starting point must be self-examination. Whatever impulses lurk within us, let us be aware of them. Let us see them for what they are. We then employ reason to act with discernment and restraint. We overcome the impulse to selfishness and commit ourselves to serving others. If we can open ourselves to the spirit of life, we may find ourselves becoming wiser, kinder, and more loving. May it be so. May it be so. May it be so. And I'll leave you with some psychology to ponder as you hear this beautiful music. I hope you've enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter. This permission can be obtained by emailing admin@unitarianSA.org.au. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians or by visiting our website at unitarianSA.org.au. hope you've enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter. This permission can be obtained by emailing admin@unitarianSA.org.au. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians or by visiting our website at unitarianSA.org.au.